My guest today is Suhak Shukla, who is the co-founder and executive director of the Hindu American Foundation. Welcome, Suhak.
Thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here and nice to see you.
You too. You too. First of all, tell me how you're doing in your sequester.
I'm doing good, all things considered. You know, the Hindu American Foundation, we're kind of used to a teleworking situation. So we were maybe ahead of the curve in terms of being able to have the agility to adjust to our new normal. So I've worked from home, even though our headquarters are in Washington, D.C. So my day-to-day hasn't changed too much, except for the fact that I have two grown sons and my husband home right now. So rather than just worrying about one meal a day, I have a lot of like, what's for breakfast? What's for lunch? So that has taken some getting used to and just not having my normal quiet.
You just got back to the United States under the wire from an extended trip to India. Is that right?
I did. I was nervously, you know, before I went, these were headlines, but not really any recommendations or orders in place, certainly not for the United States and not for India. So I took the chance because the meeting was one that I had been looking forward to for 6 months. And I got back just in the nick of time. The travel restrictions increased here in the United States. They've increased there. Now both countries have shutdowns, essentially. So I self-quarantined for 2 weeks, and I'm feeling great, so at least physically. So
I'm very glad for
that. Good.
Good, good. And speaking of the work you do, let's talk a little bit about the Hindu American Foundation. Can you tell the people who are watching and listening about the founding of it and what its focus is?
Sure. So the Hindu American Foundation was founded 16 years ago. I am one of the co-founders along with several other second-generation Hindu Americans, meaning that we were all, if not born in the United States, raised primarily in the United States, and recognized a need to fill the gap between the community and Americans at large in terms of the understanding of Hinduism, so educating the public about Hinduism, and also educating the public about issues that impact not just Hindus in America, but Hindus around the world. And those issues can range from civil and human rights to what Hindu Americans might offer in terms of conversations on climate change or diversity or income inequality, the ethical treatment of animals, and a whole slew of topics that, you know, different communities are trying to address, and where we felt that a Hindu American voice could you know, bolster those conversations.
So in this time of coronavirus, what is the focus that you and Hindu American Foundation have right now?
So it's funny that you use the word focus, because you know, we have been doing definitely more check-ins with my staff on issues of focus. I certainly feel a little bit more scattered because I'm working or trying to work on things. I thought maybe this was an opportunity because for as crazy as things are, it's brought kind of a quietness to our lives in the sense that we're not traveling as much anymore. We're not socializing outside of our homes anymore. And so there is more time to focus, or so we would think, but then we have a constant news cycle and press conferences that are going on from New York and different states that are really hard hit by this crisis. And so focus has been difficult in one sense. In another sense, the virus has brought about a slew of challenges that we need to address as an organization. One, just operationally, with all the changes with employment law and what we are obligated to provide our staff to support their well-being, we need to be on top of all those things. So that's been a lot of our management team's focus, is staying on top of all the changes that are coming about in terms of what's required for sick leave, for workers and what we can do to support our workers. Another thing that we've been focused on is how do we meet the needs of our community? There's children who are home, and schools are doing their best to provide online education and shifting to that. But then there's still, what do you do with your kids 3 p.m. onwards? And parents are home too. You know, the Hindu American Foundation's work has been in the realm of education and providing resources for schools, primarily aimed at teachers, to better enable them to teach about Hinduism in an accurate way, as well as a culturally proficient way. So we're starting to repackage some of our resources for parents to be able to teach about, you know, a recent festival, Holi. We had a toolkit that was aimed for both teachers and parents, but we realized that parents may not know how to go through it. And so we're creating, with our director of education, a video resource that actually walks parents through the toolkit so that they're better equipped to use these resources that have been available. Another thing we did was launch a Namaste Healthy campaign. Namaste, this is how we say it, and this is the gesture that comes along with it. And what it means is that the divine in me acknowledges and honors the divine in you. And it's based on a fundamental precept in Hinduism that all of us are vessels of the divine, whether it's human to human or human to animals or to the planet. The Hindu tradition promotes this understanding of divinity being kind of innate to all of existence. So Namaste is a very natural, socially distanced way of greeting people. So we started with just a public service message that's been pushed out through social media, but then that kind of fed into a webinar series. So one of the things we noticed was that our community is very active on WhatsApp. And so WhatsApp is also prone to a lot of misinformation being sent out and forwarded. And so the first thing we did is we held a webinar with the former Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, along with a number of other experts, subject matter experts. We're very blessed in our own leadership and network to have physicians who have expertise in emergency room, in pulmonary critical care, in ear, nose, and throat medicine, as well as having a psychologist, who all came together within, like, I think 48 hours notice to provide this service to the community. And so we had like a record number of people register for that. We've never seen like 1,000 people register for something that quickly. And so many questions. So now we're working to make sure that the questions that we couldn't get to are answered. Our next webinar that's coming up on Tuesday, March 31st, is utilizing yoga and breath in managing stress and anxiety. That's going to be with world-renowned yoga teacher Eddie Stern, who's based in New York City. And then we have a couple of others that are in the pipeline, cultivating spiritual well-being from a Hindu perspective in the midst of crisis. And then Ayurveda, which is the traditional ancient Indian medicine and holistic healing system and integrative approaches to building immunity. So we have some advocacy things that we've been working on as well, but I can wait until later because I've been talking a lot.
That's right. I'm going to ask you about those advocacy things in a minute, but I received your invitation to the webinar on yoga practices, and it raises a question that I hear frequently from our allies in the Hindu community about yoga and its appropriation in the United States as a sort of a sports practice rather than a devotional practice where its roots are. Can you talk about that for just a moment?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, we had a project several years ago called Take Back Yoga, bringing to light yoga's Hindu roots. And first and foremost, yoga is a holistic spiritual discipline that is open for anyone and everyone to use and to benefit from. So it doesn't require converting. It doesn't have any aspects of proselytizing within the system. So I just want to be clear on that. But what we had noticed is kind of a delinking of the Hindu roots of yoga that emerge in the multi-billion dollar industry, where we're talking about classes, certification, products, clothing, all of these things that will go as far as saying yoga has nothing to do with Hinduism. And that's where we felt that there was a need for an educational campaign to say, look, this is something that has a physical aspect, certainly. And I think that's the aspect that most people are most familiar with. You know, we're talking about yoga studios that are probably not as prolific as Starbucks, but certainly getting close to it, where there is a focus primarily on the physical aspect of yoga, but there's an entire metaphysical philosophical tradition that is the foundation. And asana, or the physical practices, is just one aspect of it. There are moral and ethical precepts to the tradition. There are, there are meditative aspects to it, where breathing and focus are used as a way to calm the mind, to focus inwards, to basically get to that ultimate realization of what I explained namaste to be, that we're all divine and we share in this diversity of existence our unity in divinity. And therefore, that is the foundation from which we need to treat one another.
So people like me from an Abrahamic tradition are so often concerned about how to do things. I'm so impressed that in the Eastern traditions, and in Hinduism in particular, there's an emphasis on how to be things, which is not always the same thing, and especially important at the time we're in right now.
Absolutely. And I think the key, you know, I oftentimes, not just with yoga, but even with, say, iconography. We're in an age where you can go to TJ Maxx and you can find, statues of Ganesha, the Lord of removing obstacles. You can find statues of the Buddha. And so we oftentimes get questions like, what is the difference between appropriation or misappropriation? And to me, the key is intent, that if there's an intent to acknowledge and appreciate the source, and you're coming at it with an intention of humility and wanting to learn, and I guess to self-improve, then that's where you're in the realm of appreciation, as opposed to denying something, or to maybe deny the word Hindu because maybe it affects your marketability. Well, that's when we're veering into appropriation.
So let's talk a little bit about the advocacy work you do. I want to start with a question that I hope won't take you off guard, although I'm sure you've heard it. I was on one of the many webinars I've been on over the past couple of weeks, listening to someone discuss the role of religion in the upcoming United States elections. And the first question that he took when he finished his presentation really took me aback. It was from someone who identified himself as a Hindu American, mm-hmm. who was outraged at the treatment of Tulsi Gabbard, which he attributed to anti-Hindu attitudes in America. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. Tulsi is a good friend, so I'll just put that out there. We've worked with her from the time that she first decided to run for national office for the U.S. Congress. And even back then, her Republican opponent basically accused her of being a devil worshiper and, you know, wished that, you know, someday she would realize the truth in Jesus Christ. And that was just the beginning of a number of anti-Hindu bigotry that she's had to face. She's kind of been the front guard. I mean, she's in the National Guard, but she's also been, in some sense, the front guard for the Hindu American community. She was one of the first, Hindu American to be elected into the U.S. Congress. Certainly the first Hindu American to run for president. And, you know, HAF is like Interfaith Alliance, a nonpartisan 501c3 tax exempt organization. So we don't necessarily, well, we don't endorse any political candidates. But on a personal level, and even as an organization, we've thought that, okay, when you have the first Hindu American running for the US Congress or for president, history is being made. And there's an opportunity for the media to, you know, educate the public about, you know, who are the Hindu Americans? What do they believe in? You know, how are they contributing to America and to their local communities? But instead, what we saw was, I think one of the first articles I was taken aback by was a focus on who was donating to Tulsi. And it named and shamed a number of Hindu Americans who have donated to her and implying basically dual loyalty to both the United States and India, and the current ruling party is a Hindu party. And so had all sorts of, you know, innuendo and accusations. I mean, first and foremost, the article said, we hired an expert to go through FEC records to identify Hindu sounding names. That kind of sounds like a witch hunt to me. And in what other context would we be okay with, hey, we went through FEC records and looked for Muslim sounding names or Jewish sounding names without having some collective, you know, condemnation of that. Unfortunately, Hindu Americans were sitting here and we're like, who's going to come out and say, hey, this is wrong? And unfortunately, no one did. Now, that's not to point fingers. I think Hindu Americans need to do a better job of being involved at, you know, multiple levels. But, you know, the interfaith spaces have oftentimes largely been Abrahamic traditions. And so sometimes when the big three are at the table, there's a sense of, oh, okay, here's our diversity. But Native Americans aren't at the table. Sikh Americans aren't necessarily at the table. Hindus, Buddhists, there's so many other traditions that should proactively get engaged, but perhaps those of us who are working in interfaith spaces be a little bit more aware of being inclusive. So I would tend to agree. I don't know what was said by this individual, but I do believe that a number of the attacks that Tulsi faced, another one was, you know, somehow holding her to a different standard because she had met with the Prime Minister of India, Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Well, so has President Obama. So have major, you know, the CEOs of major companies. They are not being accused of dual loyalty, but Tulsi Gabbard was. And I found that to be deeply problematic.
I think a lot of our viewers and listeners, Suhag, are going to recognize your concerns from within their own tradition and maybe even be startled to find out that their communities are not alone in dealing with this. And that's why it's so important that Hindu American Foundation and Interfaith Alliance are partners in so much of what we do. I count on you to help keep us honest, because you're right. There is that tendency to say, if we've got the, as you put them, the big three at the table, we've done all the work that we need to do. And that is far from the truth. We only have a minute here. And one of the things that we try to help people do at the end of each of these segments is to find something that they can focus on that is not connected to their dealing with the inconveniences and fear of this coronavirus. What do you recommend to our viewers and listeners that they could be doing now to keep themselves focused in these unusual times?
So it's hard not to get away from COVID. I mean, it is informing every aspect of our lives. But it's, you know, if you're at home and you have a roof over your head and you know you actually have a choice of what you're going to eat for lunch or dinner, there's a lot of people who don't have that choice. And, you know, I just went on Facebook and I saw that our local community here in Philadelphia is collecting funds for restaurant servers who, because of the shutdown, are not able to. So if you are able to, just give. Give financially, if you're able to those people who are really facing dire straits. Take time to learn something new. If you want to completely get away from COVID, in some sense, the silver lining is that it has opened up time for so many of us that's usually filled up with travel and running around or maybe being involved in the rat race. Learn something new. You know, HAF offers a Hinduism 101. If you're curious about Hinduism, that's a free resource that's available online. And I know that Interfaith Alliance has so many educational tools as well as advocacy that you've done over the years. This is a good time to learn about what good work is being done out there to see how you might get involved, not just virtually, but when the time comes, and it will, when you can physically get involved with really good causes. This is a great time to explore those opportunities.
Suhag Shukla, I am so grateful that you took this time to be with all of us, and especially grateful that we had the time to see each other and have conversation that we've put off until the time of coronavirus.
Exactly. So,
thank you again. Please stay healthy, and please, I hope your family is gentle with you and you are with them as the walls close in, and we'll be together again.
Namaste.
Namaste.